Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Amen, amen. Will you open up your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12? We're going to start there this morning. How many of you were here for the past, I don't know, like 7 weeks? We went through a series called In This House. Is anybody here for it? Amen. Make some noise if you were here for it. I believe it was really an incredible message, but also I believe that God wants to speak something else. Now we're shifting into something a little bit different, something that I believe is a now word for our church body, a now word even for the nation and even where we're at in our city and things. But I want to give you, and we're going to start a new series this morning called Unshaken. Somebody say Unshaken. Unshaken. That's what we're going to talk about for the next 7 weeks, I think, if the Lord gives me that much time or whatever happens, we'll see. But for the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about living an unshaken life. How many of you in this building will say that over the last little bit, you have felt a little bit, some pressure, some different things that may be feeling like a little bit of shaking going on, a little bit of different things? You know, I think all of us in this room to some degree can say that we deal with shaking and with pressure every single day. There is something, and there are pressures of life, whether it be through our marriages, whether it be through relationships, whether it be through finances, whether it be through politics, whether it be through life. There are pressures in life. And over the next 7 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about different things in our life that we go through as human beings that are here on earth, as people who are living, walking this earth. We're going to talk about seven different topics, if we have time to get through all of them, because this is going to carry us all the way into the Christmas season, so we'll see. We're going to talk about some seven different topics that I believe we as humans go through that can be times of shaking, but I want us to understand that through every trial, through every issue, through every circumstance, through every problem, we can live an unshaken life. Scripture says this in Hebrews 12, if you're there, we're going to read in verse 28. It says this, therefore, since we are receiving what? A kingdom which cannot be what? Shaken. Okay? Since we are receiving of a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which by the way, grace is a divine empowerment or an enablement. So let us have grace. So you see, because this is good right here. I don't see my notes. This is free for you. Hear me. That I'm not going to finish reading the scripture. I'm going to preach this right now. See, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why do we need grace if we are living in a kingdom or if we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken? Why do we need grace? Because right now we're living in a place that we need power to live an unshakable life. So this scripture is telling us that we can receive of a divine enablement or divine empower whenever we receive the kingdom to live in shakable situations but serve an unshakable God and an unshakable kingdom. So we're starting this series, and the first one that we're going to talk about this week is pressure. Somebody say pressure. You can live unshaken under pressure. Even whenever you're under pressure, you can live a life that is not shaken by the circumstances of things that are going on around you. Now, one of our leaders in our church, his name is Walt Johnson. They're Walt and Janae, they're over our Restored Ministries here at High Praise. And he came to me last weekend I'd already had this series idea going on in my mind. And he came to me and said, Pastor, do you remember in the beginning of the year that you preached and you started prophesying about a shaking that was taking place? I'm going to be honest with you. I looked at him, I said, no. I really didn't, because oftentimes I don't remember everything that I prophesy because it's under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I'm just flowing and going with whatever God's speaking and saying. And so he said, well, you prophesied this, and then the Lord brought it to my remembrance the other night in prayer. Whenever I was here at the church, I was praying, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and he gave me this picture. So I'm going to give this to you because I believe this is, and this will make sense in a second. Some of y'all look at this and say, why is there a road roller up there? Okay, it's going to make sense. He said he saw a road roller and one of those big machines that flattens the ground before a road is laid. And he said at first it was just rolling, pressing the ground. But then what happens next with those machines is that it has a vibration feature that creates shaking. And so the vibrating shaking system took place, and when it did, the ground began to shake. And then he said that the Lord showed him that the shaking was a twofold process. It wasn't just like a random, but it had purpose, okay? So first, the shaking compacted the ground, which made the foundation stronger, okay? That is the reason for the shaking, is to actually make your foundation even stronger. And sometimes what we do is we allow the shaking to actually break us, when shaking is actually meant to actually bring some greater pressure to create a greater foundation. Because hear me, if you try to build without being shaken first, there is not a proper strength that is there in the foundation. So now it can't withhold the pressure that is to come. See, because the pressure that is actually being applied in that moment is minimal in comparison to the length and time of pressure that is to come in the future. So I want you to just think about that for a second. And then the second thing is this, that the shaking, whenever this takes place, whenever you watch that, whenever the vibrating feature comes on, what happens is the things that were not meant to be there, that could not make it to the final foundation, shook and fall off the sides of the road. And so he said, I believe, as he shared that with me, the Lord was saying that the reason that there's a shaking taking place is because there's one, yes, it's a foundational thing where I'm strengthening you, I'm empowering you, but also anything that you don't need that cannot go with you into the next season, anything that cannot go with you into the future for the long haul, the Lord is bringing away. He is letting those things wash away in the midst of the shaking. So the loose stuff, the clay on the edges, the stuff that could not handle pressure begins to fall off. You want to hear this today, that shaking is not punishment, it's often preparation. And so the Lord's compacting things to stay, shaking loose what we can't carry into the next season. And I believe, just even when you look at our world right now, there's a lot of shaking going on. And I'm gonna be honest with you, the reason I can stand here every single Sunday and tell you, listen, hear me today, we serve a God that is greater than anything we see, is because I have faith and trust in God. And I'm seeing, hear me, this is not like to put myself on a pedestal, but this is for you to understand that there is the fivefold ministry for what? The equipping of the saints. Meaning that oftentimes people that are following the Lord need some help and a different perspective and an equipping word to help you understand that, listen, you can come out on the other side still victorious. So I want to decree and declare it to you, no matter what you're seeing in the world, no matter what you're seeing in your life, no matter what you're seeing in finances, no matter what you're seeing in family, that God can make those things good if you will continue to walk with him and let him work those things out. So hear me today. Oftentimes, though, we're in pressure seasons, bills, deadlines, expectations, relationships. Many of us feel the unneeded pressure of trying to live up to something that you're not, right? Financial status, things of these things, comparison. People often shake under the pressure of these things and end up crumbling, but we are not supposed to crumble. We're supposed to be part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The truth is this, church, we don't get to choose whether pressure comes or not. Pressure seasons and pressure things are going to take place. And this is why we must be founded and have our foundation in who God is and what this kingdom is all about. Now, hear me, pressure is not necessarily a problem for us, but it is often used to prove our faith. It can be often times in those seasons where we see what we're really made of, for lack of better words. So hear me, you may want to write this down because this is good. If you feel pressure, it's often a sign you're carrying potential. If you're feeling pressure, that means that there probably is some potential of something different coming to pass. There's something more in you. There's something greater in you. There's something that God wants to do. Because pressure doesn't destroy real faith. It reveals real faith. It actually shows, once again, what you're made of. Now, to kind of bring this to light for you, I want to go to Daniel chapter 3. And many of you know this passage and you know this story, but I'll give you a little context in case you aren't familiar with it. You probably learned it in kids' church growing up, or you maybe watched a thing called Veggie Tales, and there was this big chocolate bunny that was in this episode. But it's about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they have different names, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But there was this king, King Nebuchadnezzar. You'll find this in Daniel chapter 3. And it was around 600 BC. God's people, which, by the way, this is important. I want you to remember this. This is BC. Does anybody know what BC means? Before Christ. There we go. Before Christ. I heard it in the back. I like that, Peyton. Before Christ. All right? That's what this means. So Jesus has not shown up yet. Are we all in agreement? Technically, he had not been born from the Virgin Mary yet. He's nowhere. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't some theological things we're going to get into in just a minute, that Jesus had been seen, a manifestation of Jesus had been seen, but Jesus has not been born in the natural yet. We're going to get there. Y'all stay with me. So it's 600 BC. God's people are living in exile. Nebuchadnezzar builds this 90-foot-tall golden statue and commands everybody to bow. Now, this is not just a religious act. It's also a political pressure of the day to conform or burn. Now, this is more than idol worship. This is a cultural control. Now, I'm about to step on your toes just for a second. All right? If you think for a second, you are dealing with political pressure. Just go read this account one good time. Because last time I checked, there is nothing saying if you don't put your stamp of approval on something that doesn't line up with the Bible, you're going to be murdered. That is what's being propagated and done in this moment. It's saying if you don't worship the idol that has been created, then you will be murdered. You will be killed. You'll be made an example of, okay? So think about that just for a second. So this is a cultural control. This is a political pressure to conform or burn. And so he commands everyone to bow when the music plays. And if you don't, what happens? You're thrown into the fiery furnace. Okay? Not only that, they're also serving in a pagan system. They can't leave Babylon. But however, if you read this full story, they never allow Babylon to really enter them. They can be in the world, but not of the world. They can live in the pagan culture, but they don't have to live in accordance to the culture. They are going to example what it means to be part of a kingdom that is unshakable, even under pressure. And we're going to learn from them today. Now, we have these three boys, as I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Hebrew men who love God more than they fear the culture of the day. Now, in case you didn't know, that wasn't their actual names. Those were their given names in Babylon. These were the names that they were given by the culture. These were the names that they were given by the rulers that were in control in this day. So Shadrach was renamed, Hananiah was the original name. He was renamed to Shadrach. Mishael was renamed to Meshach. And Azariah was renamed to Abednego. Okay? And there's purpose why I'm going through this. Y'all just stay with me because I want you to hear this. You can write this down. Pressure will reveal what's inside of you. Pressure will reveal what is inside of you. Now, I'm going to give you the meaning of these names real quickly. Hananiah means this: Yahweh is gracious. That's what the original name meant. So his name declared the character of God. When they renamed him to Shadrach, hear me, it means command of Aku. Aku was a Babylonian moon god. So now, what was Yahweh is gracious, the enemy takes that, or the powers that be in that day take that, and now change that name to reflect idolatry. Mishael changed to Meshach. Mishael means who is like God. It's a theoretical question which glorifies our creator, right? And then, you know what Meshach means? Who is like Aku? Once again, we have a changing, a twisting, a contorting of the actual identity. See, because you have to understand, biblical times, names meant things. They weren't like today. We're like, I just really like the name Kylo because Star Wars. You know, like, that was not a thing. That's not why. There was actual reasons why they named people the name they did. So this was a labeling. Please understand me today. This was a relabeling of who they were. That was the attempt that was taking place in this moment. Azariah was changed to Abednego. Azariah means Yahweh has helped. Abednego means this, servant of Nabu, which is another Babylonian deity associated with wisdom and writing. So hear me. The enemy tries to rename them, which is often, see, what's interesting is the tactics of the pressure of the enemy have never changed. What does the enemy still do? You make a mistake, now the enemy labels you by your mistake. You now live in shame because of a mistake you made. You are afraid of something, so now the enemy relabels you as a fearful person. You are struggling with whether some sort of sexual sin or sexual identity things, and now that is who you are. The enemy always comes to try to relabel and rename you so that you take on a false identity and live in accordance that is nothing to who you actually are. That's why we have to understand that God, this is why we got to come back to. God created every single person with a purpose, and the purpose is to bear the image of Christ. So whenever we out of our own mouths, I'm about to preach this word and run around the room. When we as the church and as Christians and as people who are calling themselves the embodiment, if you will, or the light of the world, whenever we are doing that and then we are speaking ill and labeling people things that they actually are, maybe it's something that they're currently in. Maybe it's a problem that they're in. Maybe it's mistakes that they made. But that is not who God created them. And you need to watch your mouth and speak the truth over them. Put that in your drink and sip on it. Okay? Where was I? The enemy loves to try to attempt to relabel what he can't remove. Because there's no way that the enemy can remove the identity that God creates people with. We see it back in Genesis. In Genesis, he creates man and female, makes them what? In his own image. That is the identity of mankind. Right there. We are made in the image and likeness of an ultimate creator. And so what the enemy does is if he can't remove that label, he tries to replace that label. All right, y'all know I like object lessons. I brought everyone's favorite condiment. Yeah. All right, let's talk about this for a second, okay? I'm gonna show you this real quick. So, we all know this is mustard, okay? Right? Now, we can't actually see the mustard in this bottle. I know you might think because it's yellow, you can see mustard in the bottle. Actually, you can't see that. That's there because this bottle's like actually almost halfway empty, I think. There's mustard in here, but this is what the enemy does. Enemy comes along and says, you know what? I can't change the contents of what's inside. So what I'll do, and this is a nasty trick too, is I'll put a different label on it. Please excuse my terrible handwriting. I'm left-handed. Okay? So now, you go to the fridge. You can't read that. You go to the fridge. Can't you? All right. I got the too thick a Sharpie. I'll blame it on that. You go to the fridge, and you try to go get the mustard to put on your chili dog. You go get the mustard to use as a binder for your barbecue. Right? Nope, that's just me, I guess. And now you go to open it, Or you see it and you go, no, that's ketchup. So, wait. You know what? Instead of doing a chili dog, I'll just eat a normal old ketchup dog, okay? And so now we're like, we're under the impression when we get this out, there's going to be ketchup. Why? Because the label on the outside reads what? Ketchup. We'll come back to it. Make you think about it for a second. Now, the reason I want to show you this is before they faced the furnace, they faced false labels. Before they faced the real pressure, they faced the pressure of man. They faced the pressure of identity issues. They faced pressure from the culture of the day trying to put things on them that they were actually not. They were told, you're not sons of Yahweh anymore. You're not sons of God anymore. You're servants of our gods. You're not favored. You're slaves. You're not righteous. You're just part of the system. Throw it to the ground. Anyways, but they said, you can call me Shadrach if you want, but my name's Hananiah. That is a sign of, hear me. You know, when you study that account, you never see them say, hey, Meshach, and then go, my name is Mishael. They didn't have to argue with their words about who they were. They just stood in faith in their confidence in their identity in Christ because they realized, I'm not a part of your system or the kingdoms of this world. I'm part of a kingdom that's unshakable. I serve a God who can't be defeated. So I don't have to argue over pettiness. Whenever you want to put a label on me, go on ahead, because I already know who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am helped by the Creator. I am created by something greater than you. So they're not arguing. They let their lives preach that truth. And our mindset needs to be, you can label me according to your system, but I'll live according to his spirit. Amen. So they might have been in Babylon, but Babylon was not in them. This is part of what it means to live unshaken. Now, once again, if you go by just the outside, you might believe that label. But if you're really unshaken, when pressure's on, even though it's labeled one thing, even though it's labeled this way, what comes out, wouldn't it be crazy if ketchup came out, y'all? Y'all be like, oh my gosh, water into wine? Now we got mustard into ketchup? What happens when pressure is applied to this bottle? Well, I guess I'd have to open it. I thought it was half empty. See, I didn't test this before I got up here. Yep, look, it's a brand new bottle. Anybody want some mustard? Look, when I apply pressure to the bottle, what comes out is mustard, right? Because the label doesn't change the contents. That smells horrible. That's how we have to live. We have to live that the label does not change the contents of who I am. So you can call me fearful, but the contents is that I have peace. You can label me as whatever you want, but the contents of what is inside of me is all I have to show. So when pressure happens, when pressure takes place, it's about the contents, not about the labels. And so we need to focus on the content of who we are and be consistent in the content of our life rather than being moved by the labels of society. Okay? Now, Matthew chapter 7 says, as Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine does them, I'll liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock, right? And the rain descends, floods come. We know the scripture. So hear me. Wise people build on the rock. What I love about the scripture is every time I read it, I look at this, that it doesn't say that the storms only came to one group of people. Storms come to everybody. Pressure comes to everyone. But the house that stands is the one that builds on what? The firm foundation, builds on the rock. That is how we're supposed to be. You don't build faith in a fire. Hear me today. You reveal faith. You don't build faith in a fire. Faith is revealed in the fire. Okay, it's whenever you're in the midst of a tough situation, let me just encourage you with something. That is not the time to go, I really need to work on my faith now. Right. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying you're a little bit behind the eight ball, friend. You should have already had that faith built up so that whenever the fire came, you were ready to go through that fire in the circumstance and the situation rather than have to, God, I hope I get through it. I hope I get it. I hope I get it. Y'all don't know that song, but anyways. That's an old song, y'all. I tell you, sometimes I'm like, am I actually 33 or am I older than that? I'm not sure. Now, this is why you must decide before the fire. Before the fire, there must be a decision of heart, and that is whenever you decide. Not once you're in the fire, you decide before the fire. We see in Daniel chapter 3, 16 and 18, says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Is this after they didn't bow, and they're brought to the king? And he says, listen, you're going to bow. He's like, and they're like, listen, I ain't got an answer to you. If that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king. I love, I'm about to bring something to say. This is such a strong word of faith. But if not, but I believe, Lord, this is what you're going to do. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Hear me. That is indicative of people that did not wait for the moment to have the faith. They already had that faith. You don't stand and look at a king who's threatening to throw you in a fiery furnace and go, God will protect me, and if not, unless you have faith. That is a absolute word of faith being decreed and declared. Hear me, write this down because you're going to need this. Conviction built in calm carries you through chaos. A conviction of faith built in calm moments carries you through chaotic moments. If you don't have calm, if you don't have faith in the calm, you will not have faith in the chaos. You'll be crying in the chaos, but you will not have faith in the chaos. Hear me today. Faith is not meant to be something you rely on in the midst of problems. Faith is really meant to be the calm that is within you in the midst of problems. But often what we do is we wait for chaotic problems to enact our faith. And now all of a sudden, we're drowning and we're crying, Lord, help me. Whenever if we would have just, and Pastor Newland in our men's breakfast talked some about this yesterday, had we just kept our eyes on Jesus, a fixed faith, we would have never sunk. That's why we have to have faith in the calm so that when chaos does come, we are ready. That even if he doesn't is a faith mark of maturity. It's an understanding that I believe in that the Lord will protect me and help me, but if this doesn't take place the way I think, at least people will know that I didn't bow and I serve God. I serve the King, and somehow, some way, that story will be told. It's like he said, he's able, he will, but even if not. Yeah. And that's often what spiritual maturity can sound like. That's the kind of faith that shakes up hell. Hear me today. Unshakable people shake up hell. Unshakable people shake up hell. Now, some of you need to decide before the fire, before the temptation, before the pressure hits again. Decide now that I will not bow. But in order to decide before the fire, you have to understand what your furnace is. I'm going to say it again. In order to decide before the fire, you got to know what your furnace is. Meaning that, is your furnace approval of others? Is your furnace finances? And I don't mean you're living on barely get along street. I mean, you could be bringing in the dough, and that could still be your furnace. Amen. Oftentimes, it's more likely those that are in that position that it is their furnace, because they're more serving their finances than they are God. And then when something goes wrong, all of a sudden, everything's in a tizzy because they put their faith in their finances, not in God. That's why you can't serve God and mammon. Is your furnace compromise, temptation, whatever it is? When culture turns up the heat in those moments, can you stand even when everyone else bows? And this is a really strong word here, and I'm going to give it to you because I think it's going to help you to understand what I'm saying even better. And that's this. You don't rise to the level of your intentions. You fall to the level of your preparation. I want you to really think about that for a moment. You don't rise to the level of your intentions. You fall to the level of your preparation. Improper preparation will cause you to fall. It is great to have intentions. It's great that, you know, I really want to be free. Excuse me. I really want to be free. But the truth is, I'll do this, okay? Someone who maybe is battling with some form of addiction, whether it's a sexual addiction, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, whatever it may be. If you're in this room, you're struggling with one of those things. Hear me today. You will not get freedom from that unless you prepare for freedom. Now, I believe in divine freedom. Don't misunderstand me. I've seen it take place. But oftentimes, most of the time, you will not find freedom unless you prepare for freedom. Meaning this, you put your safeguards in place. You have accountability. You know you have to avoid certain places or certain people for a season. Because it is great to have the intention of I want to be free, but if you don't prepare and put proper things in place, you will consistently fall to that same thing over and over again. So I'll say it again. You don't rise to the level of your intentions. You fall to the level of your preparation. Now, the last point I want to make in this, I promise you I'm not going to go too much longer, is this. The beautiful thing about our God is this, that there is always a fourth man in the fire. Always. No matter what you're going through, there's a fourth man in the fire. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24 and 25 says this, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished after he had thrown him into the fire. Hear me. Turned the furnace 7 times hotter. I'm skipping some scripture, so I'm just giving you the context of what happens between these two things. King Nebuchadnezzar says, he gets upset. He says, okay, turn it 7 times hotter. Bind them up as much as you can, and then go throw them in the furnace. When they do that, the guards who go and throw them into the furnace die because of the heat, because it was 7 times hotter. Meanwhile, now we pick up here, 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose. I'm just saying. That'd be freaky. Like, was somebody hiding in the furnace? What was going on? I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. This wrecked me as I read it, because I've read it 100 times over, probably more than that. I watched VeggieTales growing up. The bunny. Oh, yeah, y'all know that. If anybody grew up, yeah. I watched all the things. I've never seen this. I understand the Christophany that most theologians believe and that we've talked, and I'll talk to you about in a second in case you've never heard that word. I'll explain it to you in a second. But we read, it's like the Son of God. Now, we've also heard, you maybe heard it preached, well, as an angel. My personal conviction and belief from scripture and from study is it was Jesus. Okay? And even Nebuchadnezzar here says it looks like the Son of God. Now let's go back to the very beginning for a second. When did we say this was taking place? Around 600 when? How is Jesus in a place before he's even born? Even better. And that someone who doesn't follow Jesus recognizes the Son of God. That gives me chills up my spine, okay? Because I'm going to break it down for you and let you, because this is a prophetic picture for us. I want you to take this home with you today, okay? God didn't keep them from the fire, because I'm going to get too far ahead of myself, because I'm going to explain all this for a second. God didn't keep them from the fire. He met them there in it. Hear me, the fire didn't burn them. It burned off what bound them, though. And you need to realize that sometimes the reason pressure happens, once again, let's come back to the beginning also, and even the picture and the vision, prophetic vision that was had. Sometimes pressure is not meant to burn you, to hurt you, to destroy you. It is meant to get rid of what is binding you, what is holding you back, what can't go into the next season, what can't go into the next purpose and destiny that God has for you. Sometimes the thing that was meant to finish you is the very thing God can use to free you. Genesis 50 and 20 says this, you meant evil, but God meant it for good. Isaiah 43, 2 says this, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor the flame scorch you. It doesn't say you'll avoid the fire. It says you'll walk through it. Hear me today. Avoiding the fire is avoiding getting rid of the thing that God wants you to get rid of so you can go where you're supposed to go. So really, in avoiding the fire, you're avoiding your purpose. Woo! Avoiding the fire, you're avoiding your destiny. Avoiding the pressure, you're avoiding what God wants to get rid of so he can refine you. See, we're going to talk about this next year. I already got my next two series planned out for next year. First series we're doing is we're going to talk about living in fire. Talking about living with the fire of God. And part of that is a refiner's fire. The all-consuming, refining fire. He refines us until... I can't preach right now. I got to move on. But it's a refiner's fire. And then the next series we're going to jump into is about living with spiritual disciplines. We are some of the most spiritually... We are probably one of the most spiritual lazy generations there is. And I don't mean just young people. I mean... People who comprise the church of all ages are spiritually lazy. We don't pray anymore. We just expect things to take place. Even now, you see this take place where this mindset of, oh, everything will just work out. It'll all just take place. It'll all just happen. The money will just show up. The freedom will just, all of a sudden, I'll wake up and I'm free. No, that happens through a word that you don't like called discipline. And I don't mean get spanked. I mean actually living with a disciplined life, a disciplined lifestyle, meaning routines, meaning actually following through with your word and those kind of things. We'll get into that next year. I don't have time for it right now, okay? So when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. It doesn't say you'll avoid the fire. It says you'll walk through it. So hear me today. If you're in a fire, whether it's your health, whether it's in your home, your marriage, your mind. Know this, there's always a fourth man in the fire. He's a friend that sticketh what? Closer than a brother. He's there. What else to say about him? He's a what? Ever-present help in the time of trouble. He is close to us. He is always the fourth man in the fire. Now, I want to come back to this just for a second, and I will end with this. You might get out a little early today. Look at that. Probably not. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he saw something he couldn't explain. And he says, there's a fourth man walking in the fire. And the fourth is it has the form of the Son of God. Now, biblical scholars call this a Christophany. If you don't know what that is, it means it is the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of God, showing up before Bethlehem, before the manger, before the cross, before the resurrection. He was already walking in the fire with his people. And there's a few different accounts of this in the Old Testament. I think there's four different accounts that I know of, if I remember right, it's four different accounts of a Christophany that takes place. Now, he was already there. He came to save us from sin. And hear me, he's showing us, even in this moment, a prophetic picture that he will not just save us from our sin, but stand with us in our suffering. That he's He's going to be with you even in the midst of life's hardest times, greatest pressures. He's revealing himself in this story to show you that he's there in the midst of those moments. Now let's bring it back to this for a second. Nebuchadnezzar had never seen Jesus. Not only that, definitely not serving God. He created an idol for everyone else to worship. I brought this up to Pastor Chelsea last night and said, babe, have you ever thought about this? This is good. And she goes, well, I mean, there's the prophecies. I said, yeah, but go read the prophecies. Does it explain exactly how Jesus is going to look? Like the exact stature of what he will have? And even then, what would make Nebuchadnezzar go, not like the Son of God? Right? Like, but yet he says, it looks like the Son of God. Now, how would we know this? How would he know this? He's never seen him, never heard him, never heard the Gospels, but something in him could still recognize him. I believe this is a prophetic picture for us, church. And the picture that is being painted here is whenever we walk through pressure, when we walk through trials, when we walk through fire, and we refuse to bow. Now, let me just go and say this. I need to say this before I say the next thing. I ain't talking about from a political standpoint, refuse to bow. Get that corn out of my face. Get that trash out of my face, okay? Like, it's ridiculous. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about a kingdom. We're talking about living as Christians. We're talking about biblical principles, standing on those things, not your political preferences. Biblical principles. And if you are thinking political preferences, not bowing, then you are thinking incorrectly right now. I am talking about specific, and the reason it's even ridiculous that we're in a place in our country that we have to actually bring this to light and say, we're not, just so you know, we're not talking about politics. We are talking about biblical principles, okay? When we live in such a way that we go through trials, problems, even maybe traumatic experiences, and we refuse to bow, we live unshaken, but even in those moments, those that don't know Jesus still see him. That is the picture that is being painted in this text, friend, is that even whenever we go through things, somebody who has never seen Jesus, never heard the gospel, maybe they've heard his name, maybe they heard a prophecy about him, maybe they heard a word or two about him, maybe at one point in time they were in a church, but then things got messed up and they fell away from God, whatever that reasoning was, even in those trials, situations that you go through, God can turn those around and use them for the good of those who love him. Oh, there's something in this. I got to preach this for a second. Hear me out, church. Woo! I got to preach this for a second because I heard the Holy Spirit say this. We read this text and we even quote this text that he turns all things around for the good of those who love him and call according to his purpose. Hear me today. Everyone's called according to his purpose. So when he's turning things around and you're going through trials and tribulations and situations and issues and problems, maybe, yes, he is turning it around for your good. But hear me, he's turning it around for the good even of those that are around that are called according to those who love him. I love God and those that are called according to his purpose. So now my testimony can be used as a picture of Jesus for those who need to see it. Why? Because I was willing to go through some things and still stand unshaken and say, I am who I am. I am who God has called me to be. I am who I am because I know the great I am. And now you can see Jesus even if you don't know him. This is the picture. This is the picture. This is what's being painted in this. Let him cook, y'all. Come on. This is good. They may not know scripture. They may worship other gods. They may be far from faith. But Christ in me, the hope of glory. And now, because I have made up my mind that I'm willing to endure pressure and live unshaken, people will see Jesus. What is the result of this? At the end of this story, everything changes. Everything changes. Nebuchadnezzar's heart is turned. The whole nation is turned in that moment. Because people said, I don't have to argue about who I am. I'll just let God, Christ in me, the hope of glory, show you who he's created me to be. And now I will live unshaken, and you will see Christ in me. I believe part of the reason, once again, let's come back to this just for a second. I believe part of the reason that Nebuchadnezzar could see the Son of God was because every human is made in the image and likeness of God. So even in that moment, even though it's buried under sin and confusion and idolatry, somewhere deep down within inside, the part of Nebuchadnezzar that is made in the image and likeness of God is relating to the man in the fire. Something within him is being stirred to recognize and relate to the fourth man in the fire. It's like their spirit says, I don't know who that fourth man is, but I know that face. So hear me, when you live unshaken in the middle of shaking, you become the sermon. You become the sermon that that person didn't know they needed. When you're willing to live unshaken in the middle of shaking seasons and problems and trials, issues, you can become the sermon that someone else didn't know that they needed. They may not read the Bible, but hear me, people are reading you all the time. People are reading you all the time. And when they see that you walk through the fire and they see Jesus walking with you, they see Jesus. They don't even just see you, they see Jesus in that moment. So that's why we got to live an unshaken life, amen? I believe that, once again, let's close with this remark here, is that the goal is not that you never face fire, but when people see you go through one, they see Jesus standing with you. Pastor Johnny can play. That there's a greater fourth man, and his name's Jesus, and he stepped into the furnace of sin and judgment. He stepped into our suffering. He stepped into our pressure moments so that when we face our own fires, when we face our own pressures, we never face them alone, and those moments can be used to testify of who Jesus is, the fourth man in the fire that is with you throughout every trial, through every issue, through every tribulation, through every problem. He still is the same God. Jesus Christ, when the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is who he is, amen. Will you stand up to your feet this morning? Will you lift your hands to the Lord? Just lift your hands to the Lord today. Father, I thank you right now. Thank you for your people. We thank you for this word. Lord, even for those that are going through seasons right now of pressure, I thank you, Lord, you're showing them the goodness in it. I thank you, you're revealing even your character, your spirit, your work in those moments. Lord, that you're revealing yourself to them so that they can stand in the midst of the problems and still declare your goodness. So they can stand in the midst of those situations and still know that you are near to them. Will you keep those hands lifted just for a second? Will you say this today? Will you say, I will not bow to fear. I'll not be destroyed by pressure. I'll not accept the labels of this world. I am who God says I am. I am called, I am chosen, and I am unshaken. The pressure won't change me. It'll prove that my life is built on a firm foundation, that my heart is anchored in your word, and that I am a part of a kingdom that is unshakable. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen and give God a hand clap today. Hallelujah.